Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. In what way is elite school college life, by design, a protective bubble that insulates young people from feeling a deep sense of need for religion or God? How might God be moving amidst all that security and ease, drawing people to himself through relationships and through unexpected challenges that penetrate even the most self-assured? What is integrare at Dartmouth College? This is the story of Kent Dahlberg, whose ministry at Dartmouth with Denise, his wife, is an extension of God's loving touch on the lives at that breathtakingly beautiful campus. As in John 8:12, Kent and Denise share the light of life. We pause here at the beginning of our program, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Show is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people like Kent Dahlberg, like Denise, like you, dear friend. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose again on the third day, offering God's hope to you, to your family, to your friends. After 3 decades serving in a variety of ministry leadership roles with CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, principally at Brown University and Dartmouth College, Kent and Denise Dahlberg launched Integrare in 2009 as an independent 501c3 nonprofit with a board of directors. Integrare is a fully recognized member of Dartmouth's Tucker Center for Spiritual and Ethical Life. Kent, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's great to be with you.
Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in the heartland in Moline, Illinois, on the Mississippi River, western edge of Chicago. You could see Iowa from my house. You couldn't see Russia, but you could see Iowa. And had a wonderful kind of middle American upbringing there, and essentially God worked in my life there and prepared me for the life I'm living now.
Who would you say, Kent, influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would have to say my parents, my mother and father, both very committed believers and loving parents, and did a tremendous job with what God gave them. And they gave that and more to me and launched me into a life I could barely have imagined, but it's been a really wonderful ride. So I would say my father passed away unexpectedly 40 years ago. So I lost him in my 20s, but my mom's still alive and lives in Florida now, and still walking strongly with the Lord, and a great encouragement and praise daily for us and everything we're doing.
You mentioned your father passing away 40 years ago. Do you remember things that he would say to you? Does his voice still ring clear from time to time in your ears, things that he said?
Yes. I think, you know, for me, I'm a very people-oriented person, and I'm also a very word-oriented person. I do a lot of speaking and writing, and then sort of the nature of ministry. And so I think in words, and I hear him talking to me in various ways, and things he, recalling things he said, the way he said them. And I think, you know, my father was a quiet but capable man, and God used him greatly, including in his influence on me.
What does it mean to you that your mother is still praying for you.
Yeah, I kind of marvel at her. She's in well into her 90s and still living independently, and obviously fading as we are tend to do when we're reach that, you know, our 10th decade of life. But she's still very sharp and very committed to the Lord, and she loves to pray. She's obviously less capable of a lot of things than she was when she was in her prime, but she knows she can pray, and she loves to pray for Denise and me. She takes great joy in knowing that we are serving full-time throughout our career in ministry together, and she's seen a lot of the fruit that, or at least snapshots of the fruit of our work, and really sees that as part of her own legacy. And so she prays daily for us and for God to continue to do his work through us.
Well, to have a praying mother, what a blessing to have one. And it gets me thinking about your journey, your spiritual journey. You mentioned the growing up years. Take us back as far as we need to go in terms of your relationship with Jesus. How did that develop?
Well, it's inseparable from, you know, the home and family I grew up in, because my parents were both, you know, very committed to the Lord and very clear in their own lives and in their interactions with the world around them of the Lordship of Christ, and trying to embody that gracefully and lovingly and clearly for our family, but also for the world around us. And so I, you know, I grew up with a very intense awareness of the Lord. And then I would say, in a clear way, committed my life to him when I was in middle school. I was about 12 or 13. Just a number of things came together, and I just realized, you know, I need to make clear my need for Christ, which I understood, and be very deliberate in telling the Lord that I need and receive the forgiveness that he offers. And so that was kind of a natural outgrowth of my own maturing. And I would have said I was a Christian before that, but I really marked that as kind of when the inflection point of when I really committed my life to the Lord, not having any inkling that I would end up in ministry doing the kinds of things I'm doing, but down the road, but that, you know, I needed Christ and was recognizing his lordship and submitting myself to that.
An inflection point there in middle school. What were the circumstances, Kent, that led you and Denise to join Crew?
Well, I was planning to be a doctor. I had gone to University of Illinois and was pre-med, and I'd taken the MCAT exam, which is the entrance exam for medical school. And but my junior and senior year of college, I got involved with a marriage and family Sunday school class at the church I was attending, Twin City Bible Church in Urbana, adjacent to the campus. Very popular church with the students, 1,300 students worship there every week. And excellent teaching that was really geared. The pastor at the time, Jim Conway, had the luxury of really aiming at a fairly narrow audience of, you know, 18 to 30-year-olds, undergraduates, and a lot of grad students, medical students, things like that there. Anyway, I decided there was a marriage and family class being offered as one of the Sunday school electives. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be married and have a family most of my life. I should probably get some more input and insight to prepare for that eventuality. And it was being taught by a physician in the area, a family doctor named David Webb. And I really enjoyed the class. He was an excellent teacher. And he was kind of the embodiment of what I envisioned my life would be, where I would probably be in some kind of general practice in medicine and maybe be a traditional family doctor. And so it was interesting just to get to know him more and begin interacting with him more on that level. And over time, he really, as he got to know me, he really discouraged me from going to medical school. He said, you know, I'll be honest. He said, most of my day is spent kind of running from 6 to 8 minute appointment to 6 to 8 minute appointment with people, most of whom on the adults have nothing wrong with them. They're just here for routine checkups or because they're looking for something and they're not sure what, or they need some advice or counsel about something. And they think, because I'm a doctor, I might be able to help them. And he goes, unfortunately, most of my day, he goes, I can't really take time for them because I got a waiting room full of people. And every minute I spend addressing the very real need that this patient is presenting to me in confidence is a minute everybody in the waiting room and subsequently is going to have to spend waiting longer to see me. And so, he said, you know, if I were you, based on things you're saying and telling me and I'm picking up, I would think about maybe going into some area of ministry or counseling or something where you're dealing more directly with people, as opposed to going through all this training to deal with people essentially as bodies. You're dealing with them as persons, of course, but your primary role as a physician is their physical care and health, and is rightly so. And but that comes with a lot of constraints and demands that are outside of maybe what you're really interested in. And the Lord used that to help me see, you know, I think he's right. I think I'm probably setting myself up for a career of frustration that's going to require a lot to do as a doctor, and yet it's not really where I want to be focusing and or what is most interesting and motivating for me. So that got me thinking more about ministry as a consideration, or counseling, some type of counseling, maybe Christian counseling. And beginning of my senior year, I met Denise. She began working at University of Illinois with then Campus Crusade, now CRU, and started coming to that church where I was involved. And so through mutual friends, I got to know her and started seeing more of the inside of Campus Crusade and working with students. And I just thought, you know, maybe this would be a next step for me to do something like that for a few years, just to get experience in ministry and allow myself some time to kind of grow up a little more before I went back to grad school or whatever the next kind of professional commitment might be, in terms of more elaborate training and really a focus for a long-term career path. And so anyway, that was kind of how I got involved with CRU initially. And because I had been involved up to that point more with the church there and its discipleship program that it was offering for interested students and others. And so that was kind of how I got first pulled into the CRU orbit, was through that journey and then in the Lord's providence, getting acquainted with Denise and seeing a bit of the world that she was working in, and which ultimately led to me deciding to go with that.
Well, we thank God for Dr. David Webb, who gave you some advice from his life, from his experience. You're listening to Kent Dahlberg. Kent is the director of Integrare at Dartmouth College Integrare is a fully recognized member of Dartmouth's Tucker Center for Spiritual and Ethical Life. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Kent. He mentioned he met Denise his senior year there at the University of Illinois. He was at the crossroads on his way to becoming a physician. And he got word from a seasoned physician who got to know Kent and understood his calling, his gifting that led to ministry. Integrare.us. You can find out more about Kent Dahlberg. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Integrare is a student and adult ministry existing to create thoughtful environments in which Christian faith and biblical worldview can be examined, applied, and experienced. Integrare is a ministry, a program at Dartmouth College led by Kent and Denise Dahlberg. Kent is with us today in studio from Hanover, New Hampshire. You can find out more again of Integrare at integrare.us. Kent, before our break, you were talking about a turning point. You're headed to medical school, and Dr. David Webb, the physician, helped to guide you, gently redirect you from a life that could have led to great frustration. You mentioned meeting Denise your senior year. Where specifically did you meet? Was it on campus or somewhere else?
Denise and I met at Twin City Bible Church, where I had been involved as a student, and she had moved in with three women into an apartment with three women who were grad students, and because she was also out of college herself, working at that point with Campus Crusade. And those three women all were Christians and came to Twin City Bible. So that's where she started coming and just tagging along with them. And she didn't really know anybody. And through a mutual friend, we got acquainted and just kind of clicked, just as friends, and enjoyed each other and started spending a little time together. And one thing led to another. And over time, we gradually realized that, you know, maybe there's something more here that we need to think about. And that was 43 years ago now. And we ended up getting married. I ended up staying an extra year after I graduated with my bachelor's in science. I stayed an extra year at University of Illinois. I had been offered a position working in a bookstore there, helping manage the stores, a Christian bookstore, a very popular store on campus, part of the Logos chain. I don't know if Logos bookstores even exist anymore, but they were a very popular chain of kind of all-purpose Christian bookstores that had a lot of gifts and cards and other fun stuff. And it was a really popular store on campus and among everybody, just because they had a lot of great stuff. So it was a fun environment to work in for me because of my interest in theology and ministry and with all those books. And then also, but it really drew a white cross section of the campus and the community, because they had, again, a lot of really nice gifts and cards and things like that. So a lot, just about anybody would shop there, even if they had no interest in the Christian books and things that were in the book section. So anyway, so I worked there for a year, partly because I wasn't clear what was the next step for me, partly because by that point I was in kind of committed enough to Denise's and my blossoming relationship that I was felt like I kind of needed to stick around to see where that's going, if it's going anywhere, because it would be harder to sustain it if I was living, you know, somewhere else. And and partly because I wanted to experiment with being involved with campus ministry on campus more directly. And so I got more involved with Crew, or Campus Crusade, as a then fresh out of college student, 22-year-old, and just to kind of dabble in that and see a little more, is this something I could see myself doing, and for at least a few years, and then figure out what's next from there.
So fast forward, Kent, 3 decades there with Crew. What lessons have you and Denise learned?
Oh my.
give me one or two.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it in light of how it formed you for Integrare.
Yeah. I would say one kind of overarching theme would be that God is faithful. Not that we can always see what that faithfulness is going to look like or where it's going to lead us, but that we can trust God and move forward with a measure of caution but confidence, knowing that He is at work, and He is not going to abandon us or leave us to our own devices. And I think the fact that we've done all that we have over the last 40 years and raised a family and had, I think, a productive ministry in a variety of arenas over the years and in very demanding environments are all, and that God's provided what we needed throughout that time is all a marker of the fact that we can trust God.
Now this,
which is important theologically, if I can say, because there's a sense in which if we can't trust God in this life and in this world and in these experiences that are immediate to us, how do we know we can trust Him, you know, beyond the grave? And so I count that as a great apologetic in my own life for my own faith and confidence, is that, you know, God has shown Himself to be trustworthy here. And so I can trust Him beyond, you know, whatever the next life is. I can trust Him with that because I've seen His faithfulness here.
God is faithful. And Kent, in light of your 30 years, part of that was at Brown University, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Initially, Denise and I spent our first 2 years in Indiana at a state school there called Ball State University, which we had never heard of. And because I was from Illinois and didn't follow Indiana schools that closely, but it's where Ball canning jars, if you're familiar with those glass jars that are ubiquitous in the canning world, that was the kind of the founding company for the town and the university and everything. And our son was born there in Ball Memorial Hospital. And so anyway, so every time I see a Ball canning jar, I think of its significance that I would never have imagined. But we spent our first 2 years there. They wanted me to have, when we joined, Denise and I married in summer of 1981. And it was a couple of years after we met. And I came on staff with Campus Crusade. She already was on full-time staff at that point. And then we put together the additional support team we needed, since there were two of us now instead of just me or her. in terms of having adequate funding for that, for us to go forward together. And then they assigned us to Indiana because they, at that time, they were trying to keep new staff, and I was considered a new staff. Denise was senior staff. Within 8-hour drive of their home area, just to keep them a little bit tethered to the world that they're from initially. And so we were assigned to the school in Indiana, which worked out great. And we spent our first 2 years of marriage there. And I got my feet wet in full-time ministry. And, we really had a great run. But longer term, we thought we might be interested in going to Europe and working in campus ministry in Europe, because it's more secular and postmodern there. Denise had actually studied in Europe 2 years as an undergraduate, and was thinking, when she was single, was thinking maybe she would end up back there working in ministry because the need was so great. She understood the languages, she knew the cultures, and she just felt like that might be what God had for her. So I was kind of open to that and interested. And we thought that after a couple of years in Indiana, we thought, maybe to spend some time in New England at an elite school, maybe one of the Ivy League schools, would be a great next step in our own kind of preparation and maturing and testing to make sure we're cut out for an even more difficult environment, which would be working in Europe in campus ministry. And so there was a position available at Brown University with Campus Crusade that was a good fit for us, for me, and Denise as well. But she was, at that point, her son had just been born. And so she was a little more focused primarily on being a young mom, although she did continue to do some things on campus every week as well. So we went to Brown and ended up spending 5 years there and had a really great stretch, really enjoyed it, and got to know New England better, and saw and also started rethinking whether we really wanted to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. Just as we were maturing and getting just a more a sense for where we fit and where we might best be utilized.
Kent, when we come back, let's talk about how God led you from your experiences at Brown, those 5 years, to Dartmouth, and the years that you've spent there, and the vision for Integrare. How did that emerge within your soul? You're listening to Kent Dahlberg of Integrare, a program at Dartmouth College. You might be asking, Integrare, what does that mean? Well, when we come back, Kent Dahlberg will explain what that means. It's not as far away as you think in terms of your life and my life, our lives together. Kent Dahlberg is the director there with his wife, Denise. You can find out more at integrare.us. Look, in life, the understanding of God's faithfulness is a real foundational truth. Kent and Denise have experienced that. They'll share more. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
On the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Integrare exists to create thoughtful environments in which Christian faith and a biblical worldview can be examined, applied, and experienced. Integrare does this through one-on-one spiritual mentoring, weekly small group Bible studies, and special events. Their primary focus includes varsity student athletes, professors, and community professional leaders. You say, Danny, where is this? I'm tuning in right now. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about Dartmouth College. Integrare is a program there led by Kent and Denise Dahlberg. They are also part of a program called the Roundtable Dinners at Dartmouth, which they lead. Kent Dahlberg is with us from Hanover, New Hampshire. You can find out more about them at integrare.us. Kent, after decades at Dartmouth, a vision emerged in your heart, yours and Denise's hearts. How did your vision for Integrare grow at Dartmouth?
Well, we initially came to Dartmouth in 1988. I was asked to consider coming up to join what was then the regional team for the campus student ministries of New England and New York with Campus Crusade and now CRU. And it looked like a good transition time in terms of our family and in terms of the ebb and flow of our ministry at Brown. I had a lot of young men I had been working with who were graduating. And so it was a good time. If I was going to kind of exit stage left at some point, that would be an easier time to do it in terms of the flow of the ministry, et cetera. So in the Lord's timing, this came together. And we had always loved this area as we got to know New England and saw this could be a really great place to raise our family if we're going to stay in New England, because I'm more of a small town rather than a large city person. And so while we enjoyed our years in Providence, Rhode Island at Brown, I could see that it was going to get more complicated and frustrating for me, especially to be raising our kids there as opposed to in more of a setting like Denise and I grew up in. So anyway, so in the Lord's timing, it worked out for us to come up here to do some work with the regional team for New England, New York with Campus Crusade, but also the invitation to pioneer the first work with professors in New England, and which I'd done a little bit, dabbled with a little bit on a lark in while we were at Brown. And so that kind of sparked my interest as maybe a next step I would grow into longer term if we stayed in campus-oriented ministry. So I came up here and began working with professors, administrative leaders, and also helping oversee and manage the 125 full-time staff Campus Crusade had on 25 New England and New York campuses at that time. And I'd say, you know, we've kind of reinvented ourselves a number of times during the 30 years or so we were with CRU, but during the, say, a little over 20 years we were here with CRU, I would say I gravitated more and more into the adult ministry space while still doing some work and having a real interest and heart for young people and mentoring them. So when our youngest went off to college and Denise was really ready to re-engage more fully in ministry again as an empty nest mom, she really gravitated toward the women student athletes because there was a tremendous need there. And two of our three kids had been college athletes, Division I college athletes. Denise and I had both been athletes in college. And so we understood and had worked with that segment a lot. And so she really focused there and has done amazing things with the women athletes. Meanwhile, I continued to do things with adults and got more involved with some community members, business professional leaders, that sort of thing. And some of whom were, you know, funding, helping fund the various ministries here. And it was a way of ministering to them in response to all the help they were providing for the kingdom here, both through us and through other ministries. And and then the roundtable dinners grew out of that context due to my friendship, long friendship and ministry relationship with Dave Tom, who's in Cambridge and working at MIT and Harvard in that world with you, Danny, with the roundtable dinners.
We've been talking about integrare throughout. It's a bit of a mysterious term, one might say. Tell us, what does that mean, integrare?
Integrare is a fancy Latin verb that means to bring things together, to complete them, to make them whole. Coming to faith and then growing and maturing in faith is a process of becoming strengthened and complete, whole, and true to what God intends for us to be. And so we adopted Integrare as kind of the name for what our little ministry would be, because it sort of caught that notion of what we're about and kind of where we're trying to go personally and in the various ministry and other activities that we're involved with in our work.
When we talk about leadership, the high levels of leadership often take place when the leader embodies the values, embodies the vision, embodies that mission. I see that in you and Denise. I've had the privilege to see you in action and to see the integration of the student athletes, professors, and community leaders at the roundtable dinners there at Dartmouth. Who were some of your speakers in years past?
Oh my. Well, we've been doing the roundtable dinners for 8 years. We're teeing up our ninth year right now. So we've done three events a year. Dartmouth is on the quarter system, on the term system. So we do a fall event, a winter event, a spring event. And interestingly, we started with someone Denise heard speaking on NPR, who is a Christian and is the world's foremost authority on play. He's an elderly gentleman now in his 90s, but his name's Stuart Brown, and he is a psychiatrist who went to Wheaton College and is, again, a solid Christian, but had gotten interested through his professional work in the role of play in the development of our brain. And the importance of play at various age-appropriate levels, whatever play looks like at various times in our life, to continue to stimulate and develop and sustain healthy brain function. And both on a personal level, personality, emotional level, balance level, as well as a just to keep your cognitive function efficient and sharp. And so anyway, it was a long story, but we ended up having him come from California for 3 days and do some things here, including our first roundtable dinner, which was just a great experience and got us off to a strong start. And we typically have a lot of Dartmouth faculty that we come and lead our kind of to tee up our discussion, whatever the theme is for that evening. And so we've,
Who was your most recent?
Our most recent was Marcelo Gleiser, who is was the 2019 Templeton Prize winner, which is like a Nobel Prize from the Templeton Foundation, and a very prestigious achievement, perhaps one of the greatest accolades Dartmouth professor has ever gotten. He's an astrophysicist, Russian Jewish background through his grandparents, and grew up in Brazil, where a lot of the Jews had fled. He's an astrophysicist here, and but very much a Renaissance man, speaks broadly and thinks broadly beyond just astrophysics, and is not personally a person of faith at this time, but is very thoughtful about matters of faith and the spiritual life, and is really searching and attempting to make sense of that, and is very articulate about that. And so he does really well at roundtable dinners, because a lot of the people we invite to these and hope to see around the tables are not believers. And so it's great to have feature both Christian professors for some of the evenings, as well as people like Marcelo, who are not identifiably religious, but are very thoughtful and interested in and stimulating of thinking about the importance of that area in our lives. And even as he's trying to figure out his own path forward. So we're blessed with a lot of talent here right on campus. So we have a lot of interesting people we can draw on for various topics. We try to focus the topics around what we call, you know, life's big questions, in looking at things that we all have to deal with sooner or later in terms of, you know, matters that come before us. I think one of the most popular that we did a few years ago that was very strongly responded was on resilience. We have a sports psychologist, former psychology professor here, who is now a sports psychologist with the athletic department. And he talked about resilience, and which is what he did his doctoral work in, and it was just fascinating. And then naturally, the discussion then around the tables, which is really the focus of the evening for these dinners, it's not the presentation. The presentation is just to catalyze a really good discussion of the topic around your tables over a lovely dinner. And is that people talked about what were situations in their own life where resilience was required, and how did they grow, and what did they learn about themselves through those crucible experiences? And we talked about, and that leads naturally to the question of faith in general, and Christian faith in particular, as a resource that helps provide both the perspective and the perseverance we need to develop and exercise resilience when a spouse goes through cancer, or we lose a child, or all the different large and small challenges that each of us faces sooner or later, and that we observe other people walk through. So that's kind of how we try to shape and focus those evenings in the discussion, the roundtables, so that it's not just an esoteric discussion of some abstract topic.
Let's come back to that resilience. Let's make that our jumping off point for our final segment, Kent, in our discussion, because someone today may be in need of some resilience within themselves, but maybe even some resilience that comes from a strength beyond what they themselves can conjure up, can work up, can build up, help from God. And you, dear friend and brother Kent Dahlberg, know well what it's like being a father, being a husband, being a leader for decades. You're listening to Kent Dahlberg. He is the director, with his wife Denise, of Integrare. It's a program at Dartmouth College, a ministry there. When we come back, you're going to hear more from him. You can find out more about Integrare at integrare.us. It's a campus ministry creating opportunities for dialogue about truth, faith, purpose, and what it means to be human. Human. My friend, resilience is a good word, isn't it? It's something to apply in our lives. We'll talk more about that. Even have a time of prayer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life. Aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel, so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Integrare, the ministry at Dartmouth, explores the Bible's understanding of who and what we are as persons, body, mind, spirit, living in relationship with God, ourself, and one another. Integrare seeks to form the parts of our lives and faith into a grateful, satisfying whole. Kent Dahlberg, who's the director, along with his wife Denise, joins us today from Hanover, New Hampshire. Kent, in this, our final segment, going back to the word resilience, mm-hmm. How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, that's a big question and an important one. I'm glad we can talk about it. First of all, I think for me, getting perspective on the difficulties, the challenges, the trials and testing that each of us faces in life is really helpful to produce the positive attitude and the perseverance that resilience requires. And so knowing that God is using and allowing and purposing the crucibles in our lives is very encouraging and reassuring, that although it's always possible we're in a difficult spot because of maybe a poor decision or a misstep that we have made, you know, nonetheless, God will never leave us or forsake us. And so we know that he is with us. As a loving parent hangs in with a child or teen, even when the child has stepped out of line, whether willfully and rebelliously or just through kind of short-sightedness or youthful folly, as we're all prone to when we're young at various ages. So a big thing for me in finding resilience is recognizing that when I'm faced with a difficulty or a challenge, that God has a purpose for that and that God is with me in it and wants to use it for good in my life. And then I think it's also recognizing that God allows those challenges and those times of testing in our life, in part so we can learn to rest in him, to trust him, to lean on him, to draw on him in ways we wouldn't otherwise be forced to if things were going well in the way we want all the time. So that would be, I guess, the first thing that comes to mind. I can elaborate further, but I don't want to belabor that. So you tell me what you'd like.
Well, I'm thinking about someone today who, you did mention some moments of life that people go through, and it's happening right now. Someone is experiencing a financial challenge. Someone is facing a health challenge. Someone is facing or in the middle of a relationship strain, or maybe someone has lost a loved one. So the heart is broken. The heart is strained. Life is tough. And when we talk about resilience, this is the human experience. How do we pray through a time like that? And Kent, I would like to ask if you would pray for our listeners in a few moments too. But what would you say? And then let's go into prayer.
Yeah, I would... there was a closing quote from Queen Elizabeth that they stated in her funeral a few weeks ago, that she had said at the 9/11 memorial service to the United States, the people of New York. And she said that grief is the price we pay for love. So oftentimes when we're grieving, whether it's for ourselves in a situation we're wrestling, struggling with, or we're grieving because of a loss or a disappointment, or we're grieving with someone for their loss because of what it meant to them, whatever the issue is that that we're, it's a reminder that because we love things and we hold things dear, when we lose those things or they're threatened or they're changed or they're lost, it naturally will produce a feeling of grief, and that's a healthy and a wholesome response to what's happening.
Why don't we just go into prayer? I think this would be a good time to pray for a dear listener.
Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Danny and this program. Thank you for your kingdom's work around the world and in each of our environments that we circulate in daily and in each of our lives. Father, we're grateful for the confidence we can have in you. We're grateful for the resources that you bring to us, some of which we see and can touch and feel and recognize, others of which are really part of the air we breathe. Indeed, even the air we breathe is a resource that you provide freely, abundantly, and without us even ever thinking about it. And we thank you for preparing this place for us and for your going before us and coming behind us and surrounding us as your children. Father, you know that we need you, and we ask that you would help us see our times of challenge and stress and difficulty as portals into recognizing our need and to see your provision and your sufficiency for us. And we thank you that you and your son most particularly demonstrate tremendous resilience and tremendous resilience towards us, for which we're grateful. And we pray that you would fill our lives with the wholeness, the fullness, the completion, the strength that integrare represents as a word, and that we're endeavoring to bring about in whatever ways we're able as your spirit works in and through Denise and me here. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for Danny and this program. We ask your blessing on each person who is listening, that your presence would be real to them, and that your involvement in their lives would become evident and obvious to them so that they can walk confidently in the day ahead. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kent, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Danny. It's my pleasure. It was great having you up here at Dartmouth, and you're welcome to come back anytime. You're fun to have around.
I love being with you both and being with you there at Dartmouth. Thank you, Kent.
Good. All right. Thank you, Danny.
Enriching words. Enriching words indeed from Kent Dahlberg, integrare.us. My friend, God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you, just as Kent has. If you haven't done so, look, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there to join our prayer team or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I want to thank you in advance. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Kent Dahlberg, integrare.us. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with the good life.